Star.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We welcome you tonight to another in the series of Establishing Your Faith right here on the Community of Faith International Broadcasting Network.
We welcome you tonight.
What a...
To another in the series of Establishing Your Faith right here.
There we go. Finally got that guy to settle down a little bit. So we welcome you. And on this network of Establishing Your Faith, we have many different channels. We have a channel for Read the Word. We have a channel for Establishing Your Faith. We have a channel for Blog Talk Radio, and for Facebook Live, and for our Facebook page. And Brother Rivers has a channel, Upfront Entertainment on Blog Talk Radio. And we're just doing the work that God's given us to do so that we can be found faithfully walking with him and serving him every day in this great, these great, great, great last days. Didn't have a chance. I know I say this almost every time I'm here. If you didn't have a chance to join us this morning for our morning prayer, remember our noon prayer has now moved to morning prayer. And it's beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. And we did that on purpose. That way you got your whole day ahead of you. You can do things. Sister Lynn has been the one that's been doing it. She did it for about 2.5 months. And she did a good job. And I'm off a few days, not in a truck yet, but I'll be here with you in the morning. And then, anyways, the point is, if you were not able to see this morning's and study this morning's prayer and pray with us, most importantly is pray with us, I encourage you to go to YouTube and put in those letters, Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness, RWR. You'll see that right at the beginning of the title. It'll say RWR, EYF, Establishing Your Faith. And study that one this morning and speak the word of God in faith in prayer. It's a powerful session this morning. Not only our confession time, the Proverbs time, Brother Dutch Sheets daily giving 15, and then that which we played that was from Flashpoint Live in Omaha. My goodness sakes alive, was God ever speaking powerfully there in Omaha to everybody that was in attendance. And you know what's cool about Flashpoint? It is very much a holy program, a godly program, a righteous program, a faith program, but it's also politics. And thank God for somebody like Brother Gene, Pastor Gene, and Dutch, and Mario, and Hank Kuhneman, and who's that one last guy there? Lance Walnut. They're making a powerful team of bringing us politics and the Word of God and faith and putting it all together in one. It's a very, very powerful, powerful time. Now, you know, this is interesting. I hadn't planned to do this. As I'm sitting here talking about it, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, play it again tonight. So it's not in the plan, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm just going to follow what the Holy Spirit says to do, because Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say, and I'm getting better at that. And so, if you were not here this morning, we studied this, and I'm going to put this on and play it for us right now. How long does this last? Oh, it's just 15 minutes. Starts off with Mike Lindell. I think it's pretty powerful. Brother Mike Lindell, totally transformed by the Word of God in just the last year, if you've been watching him. What a powerful testimony of God's wonderful love, mercy, and grace. So, let me just click a few more screens here. What is that? Try again. Let me just click a few screens here. Let me try again. I'm just catching up with their latest update. Let me just catch another screen here. There we go. This is from the Omaha Flashpoint Live. And there we go. There we go. And there we go. Now let's turn this on over here.
I'm telling you.
There we go. This is Flashpoint Live, Brother Dutch Sheets, powerful statement. And then Hank Kuhneman really prophesies. Here we go.
The grace that God gave us was all these things that are happening had to happen just the way they did. Because you know what? We're going to get to this glorious place, and it's on his timing, not ours. And I want to say one more thing. It'll take just 1 minute. Everybody comes up to me and says, Mike, my prayers aren't answered. I've been praying that this will happen. And I said, you know what? In my life, I said, those were reactionary prayers. And I said, they might not be God's will. Well, where is God's will? God's will is in the Word. And so if you stay in the Word, you can be proactive in prayer, and they line up with God's will. So when things happen like happened to me 2 days ago, it happened for a reason. I stood there at Hardison going, hallelujah, praise the Lord, something good is going to come out of this. And then here.
But in September of 2000, I was in our Wednesday night service. And I was about to go up and preach, do the message. And I walked to the platform, and a wave of dizziness hit me. I literally, at times, staggered around the room because I couldn't not focus at times. And I knew early that God was trying to impart to me his heart for America. It was, as I look back often, I was like, you know, why didn't I feel anger? Why did I feel love and a broken heart rather than his wrath? I didn't feel wrath. I felt the love of a father for a prodigal. Now, I know at one point, and I know you're not supposed to let the flag touch the ground, but I was out of control, okay. I went to the over in the corner, and I grabbed a flag we had, and I wrapped it around me, and I laid on the floor. And I sobbed, and I knew I was crying with him. I knew we were crying together for this nation, Gene. And it became so intense that at one point, I said, and I meant this. This was not hype, or I'm not trying to be sensational here. I said, God, please, you have to stop this. Because my heart is literally going to break, and I'm going to die. And I said, please don't kill me. Now, I get, you know, sometimes you just get in a situation you think God may not know what he's doing. You know. But I was afraid. I was hurting here. I thought, my heart is going to break. I'm going to die. So for 3.5 hours this happened, and here's what he said to me at one point. I know this was God. I could never, ever, ever be convinced this wasn't God. He said, I must have this nation.
Wow.
I must have this nation back.
Come on. Come on.
I'm not moved by what they say, because I know the love in my heart for America is not a pride. It's not a we're better than someone else. It's not we want more than anyone else. The love I have for this nation was put there by God. And here's what he said to me. For what I'm going to do in this hour in the nations of the earth, the harvest that I am going to reap, I must have this nation. I learned a long time ago about the American dream, that what we did is we took God's dream for America and perverted it into American dream that's all about things and all about being the biggest and the best and the pride that came in. And I'm proud to be an American, and I sing it and I cry when I sing it, but I'm not proud to be an American because I want to be the biggest and the best. I'm proud because I know God raised up a nation under him with his heart to spread the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ to all the nations of the earth. Our destiny is not over. He is going to save this nation. And a third great awakening is coming to this nation. And it's going to give us the transformation that we need. There is at least the harvest that's coming is at least a billion soul harvest. At least! This is not coming. We're not asking him to do this and fighting with him for what needs to take place in order for that harvest to happen. We're not doing that to try to talk him into. So we're not trying to convince God, come on, do this. We have this passion because of his heart.
Right.
He is passionate to give the nations as an inheritance to his son. And he said, I will do this.
Amen.
I promise you, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, that's what he said. And I'm going to tell you one more time. It will not be stopped.
Right.
America will be saved, and a great worldwide harvest is coming.
Amen. Amen.
Go! We're gonna rise! We're gonna rise! We're gonna rise! The Spirit of God says, there is a shout that I have received from you that has routed the enemy. Now I have rent open the heavens. The mountains watch. They will smoke at my presence and a shift that is happening in the earth.
Come on.
And I will take my lightning rods and I will scatter the enemy. And I will rout the plans that they think to take your nation in a different direction, says the Lord God. For as they look very closely to your Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, for it is cracked. And God says this is forever a sign to you, United States, and to the nations of the earth. You may see a crack in the Liberty Bell, and they have tried to crack and break you and take your freedoms, but liberty shall forever ring in the United States of America, says the Lord. Therefore, watch very closely of what is about to happen, for they even speak inflation. And they say inflation shall arise. Yet I look from my heaven and I say, even though they speak inflation and inflation, it shall seem for a moment in America that it shall arise. Yet I shall take my fist and I declare from my throne it shall be declared inflation. For I will flatten it. I will deflate it. I will break it. And God says, they will say, what? And what has happened to your Federal Reserve? because I will raise up something new. I will raise up something greater. And God says, I will cause your economy, because in the United States there is a resilience and my anointing that has been placed upon you. Therefore, there shall be an early cold, an unusual cold that shall come in a very unusual places in this nation. And they will say once again, what is the meaning of this? And God says, I told you before with the heat that this is the work of my hands, to show you that no man controls the climate or the spiritual climate of what shall take place in this land and in the earth at this time.
Glory.
And as the cold spell, so it would seem to last and grip. Watch where it grips. It would seem as though it will not end, but then suddenly it will lift. And you will say, what is this? For we've had enough of the heat. We've had enough of the cold. And God says, that's what I'm looking for, is to hear my people cry out, enough is enough, that you will turn unto me, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
God says, get ready, for you will say from your mouth, we have never, ever seen this before.
Wow.
This has never happened in my lifetime.
Wow.
Or even what I have read. Because God says it is time to dream again.
Hallelujah.
Because I am turning the captivity of this country.
Hallelujah.
And you will say from your mouth, look at what the Lord has done. He has done great things for us.
Hallelujah.
God says your shouting has caused great damage from the very hearts of this nation.
Come on.
And I say, as it was in the days of Moses, the Egyptians, I spoke to them and said, the Egyptians that you see today, you will not see again. And God says, this is what I speak of. There are things that the enemy is trying to grip you with, America, with socialism and communism, and they will lose their grip, and this country will never face it as it has been in this season.
Come on.
Were the walls ever rebuilt, says the Lord, in the days of Jericho? They are falling. And you will even see one who will arise in this time. And they will say, for they are afraid of them, those who have lied. And they will say, when this one arises very soon, what shall we do now? This one who has risen, who spoke lies, that is now telling the truth. For they will shake when this one was considered and even was a foe, shall now become factual, and shall run their mouth, open their mouth, because of my fear that shall grip them.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Come on, shout unto God one more time.
Hallelujah.
Shout unto God one more time.
Hallelujah.
You know, the Lord showed me something today in Judges 6 that it reminded me of. That the Midianites prevailed against Israel, the nation. And guess what the Israeli nation did? They hid out in caves rather than engage the Midianites. Today we've been overtaken by the Bidenites. And churches are hiding out in caves. But you know what? God came to Gideon and he said something, because God always looks for a man. Come on, Mike Lindell. Come on, Pastor Gene. Come on, Dutch, Eric. Come on, rest of you. God always looks for a man. And he said, you, Gideon, are a mighty man of valor. Gideon didn't think so. And you know, Gideon's response is what some people are responding to God. You know what he said when God said, you're a mighty man and I'm going to use you as one man to deliver Israel, your country. You know what he said? He said, but God,
Haven't you seen all the bad things that have been happening? Like God didn't know. Second, he said, God, where are all the miracles? In other words, where's your supernatural intervention? Third, he said, God, we saw what you did with Egypt, but have you forsaken us? And that's what some people think, is that God has forsaken this nation, and he hasn't. If Moses, when God said, leave me alone, when they created a cow and did all kinds of evil things, and God said in Exodus, get away from me, Moses, leave me alone, that it may wax hot in my anger. Do you know how close we were to having the nation of Moses? Because God said, get out of my way. I'm so angry, I will start over with you. I'm going to wipe the whole people off. A lot of people cry out and say, America, repent. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many are you thinking it's going to take to satisfy what you think is enough repentance for God to move?
Come on, man.
Abraham did that and got in a self-imposed countdown. That was not God's idea, his idea. He said, if there be 50 righteous, 45, 40, and he went on down. And he stopped at 10 rather than saying, will you save Sodom and Gomorrah for one man, me, a righteous man? Otherwise, God would have never talked to him. But yet Moses didn't do what some pastors, Christians, people in this nation would do. They would let God walk away and say, well, they deserved it. No, one man, Moses, changed the destiny of a nation because he said, I'm not going to leave you alone, and you will remember your covenant with your people. And if I leave you with anything, you as a person makes a difference in this country. And I don't care how many people get up and demand that we repent for the 10,000th time. This man is standing before the face of God and saying, you will remember your covenant and you will save America.
My. Now, I don't even know what I'm supposed to say next. But it'll be all right. What a powerful word, both of them. That God is moving right here, right now, today, in America, in a mighty way. You and I have been standing against the isms. He spoke of that. You and I have been standing in faith for America to change. We saw this morning Brother Dutch's message on January 10th of this year, where he was talking about Roe versus Wade. Hopefully it'd be overturned. Well, it was overturned. Now we've got to win the battle in each of our states, and we're doing that. You and I are on the cutting edge of the things of God right here, right now, every single night when we come to this program. And I thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of this. And thank you for your faith. Thank you for your undying faith that just is so solid all the time, that just is established. And every time we come on here, we can count on the fact there's going to be somebody here from somewhere alongside of us. Hey, there's Sunday guys who are over there on YouTube. Those of you that are over there, make sure you click in and say hi. That way we know who you are, and we can say a prayer for you and your family. Every time we see you there, we pray for all of our family and friends on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, Blog Talk Radio, all of you that's with us on Zoom. What an amazing thing to have God do. I really believe that the faith you see on this program, Flashpoint, and yet the political force that they have become, most of the Flashpoint Army are people that are involved in politics in their community at a local level, on the city council, on the school board, on different places like that, because they got busy. Brother Gene, when he said, we got to get busy, they all went out and got busy. They're in the polling booths. they're in the counting booths, or whatever you call that place in the voting process where they count it. I'm missing the technical term, but it'll be all right. The polling places, they've gotten it. They've went in and got the jobs in those places, and they are standing strong, mighty men and women of God, who will not be moved from off of their faith that America shall be saved. Why? Because the Father said it to us. It's not that we made. George Washington didn't get his vision back in 1777 or whatever it was. He didn't get that vision by his own work. That's a vision that came to him by the hand of Almighty God. By the supernatural power of God, he saw the future of this nation. And I know I haven't said it lately, but I'm going to actually just turn there. Take me a little bit to get there, but I'm going to just turn there because I want to say it exactly how that angel brought it to him. The angel said to George Washington at the end of the vision, the angel said, "Son of the Republic, what you have seen is thus interpreted. Three great perils will come upon the Republic. The most fearful is the third. But in this greatest conflict, the whole world united shall not prevail against her. Let every child of the Republic learn to live for his God, his land, and the Union." Now think about this. This third great peril, when the whole world is united against us, that it will not prevail against us here in the United States of America. Now, you and I can stand boldly. There's the other statement. While the stars remain and the heavens send down dew upon this earth, so long shall the Union stand. Now, you and I can be very encouraged that our words that we are speaking every single day right here, every single day, our words are being heard in heaven, and you and I are standing in the gap, making up the hedge. And just like in that day in the book of Ezekiel, God sought for a man that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. You and I are standing in the gap, making up the hedge every single day of our life. And we thank you for standing here with us. We thank you for your faith and your hope in Jesus' mighty name. Now, all right. Looks like that's going to turn out right. It's moving. I'm going to go now. I want us to make our declaration against secular humanism again. And then our topic tonight is our Father rewards all those who seek him. And last night we were talking about some wonderful things about God and his nature. Tonight we're going to be our Father rewards all who seek him. And I'm going to read to you about I'm going to refer to about eight passages of scripture that are very specifically say the words, seek him. And so this is going to be a good study tonight for each of us. Oh, I forgot to share the screen. I'll get it. I got it. Share the screen. There we go. There we go. There we go. There we go. Our prayer against secular humanism. Here we go. I encourage you at home to make this declaration out loud right there in your house, if you can, without interrupting everybody else who's at the house. Everybody's got to always work with what they got, but here we go. The prayer ending secular humanism's rebellion against God and his divine attributes. God our Father, in the name of Jesus, which is high above every name, high above every principality, every power, every might, and every dominion. In the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind the effects of the demonic actions of humanism that have dared to try to take root in our nation. Oh, Jesus. In Jesus' name. That's all right. We'll get it. The last paragraph. We declare that the Ecclesia, God's governing body of authority on the earth, we have repented of our sins. We are seeking your face, Father. We have risen up, and we are prophesying and proclaiming boldly, oh my goodness, the word of God against this rebellion. We bind the perverse spiritual forces behind humanism, declaring that by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, the humanistic agenda and all of its yokes are destroyed by the word of truth. All of its efforts are dead from the roots up, and the believers will be able to say, like the disciples, Master, that tree we cursed is dead. With your authority, your might, your dominion, and your empowerment, we prophesy the end of the humanistic agenda. The voices of the Ecclesia will continually become louder than the voices of the humanist abomination. We are the righteous, and we are as bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah in us. We raise our voices louder than the government. We know as we pray, you hear our voice in heaven, and yet their voice is only heard by man on earth. We know you hear our prayers. We know we have the petition that we ask. We know you are baptizing the body of Christ with power from on high. Contend for the faith and take authority over this force of wickedness. We declare deliverance and salvation comes today to those who have been bound by its deception. We believe and speak that all across this land, a powerful demonstration of your ecclesia will be seen continually. We ask for it. We declare it. We prophesy it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And now our prayer for homeschoolers. Father, give strength, power, and understanding to those families who have rejected the indoctrination of the public school system and have embraced homeschooling. We bind all evil forces who try to force them back into the humanistic, indoctrinated system. In Jesus' mighty name, we tear down the veil of misinformation and confusion and expose the wickedness. We bind it. We render it powerless in our school systems. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Huh. Somewhere here. We will be back out here where we can see. There we go. Now, what an interesting start to our program this evening. But that's all right. How many know we're going to just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit every time we come here? Now, I want us to pray right now for the family of believers here at the Community of Faith, and specifically for Matt and Kathy and Joey, the Angaroni family, for our sister Mary Pastorek, who's recovering, and then for Audrey's friends that she shared with us a little earlier, have been in a severe situation today. Let's pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are, the family of God, the community of faith, brothers and sisters in God. Here we are. We present ourselves again to you right now, and we declare that you, Lord, you do miracles great and mighty. We speak over the Angaroni family tonight, Matt and Kathy and Bella and Joey. We declare in the mighty name of Jesus, life and life more abundantly for this family. Speak over Matt's hand and the cut that he had. In the name of Jesus, be made whole. Thank you, Father, that it is done. We give you glory and honor for a mighty, amazing miracle of faith. The centurion said, you don't have to come my way. Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And we say, Matt Angaroni's hand be healed. Joey Angaroni has been delivered from this spirit of infirmity that wants to destroy. And we have arrested this spirit. And we say, you cannot function here. And Joey is filled with life and life more abundantly. And Dane and Rivers and every one of these young men and women that we have been given assignment to pray for. Bless them. Michael and Dane and Rivers and Joey and what's that other one's name, Jesus? You're bringing it to me. But anyways, we speak deliverance, total and complete, absolute deliverance. You do not have control over the bodies of these people, you foul spirit of infirmity that is called autism. They are free and free indeed. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Bless every one of us tonight. Bless everyone who might be weak in their body. Bless our sister Mary, Pastor Rick and Don. We bless them with supernatural strength. We declare the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside your mortal body, producing life and health from the inside out, not from the top side down. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't have to push it through our brain. It comes from within us. Out of our belly flows rivers of living water, and we say, flow, river, flow, river, flow, river, flow, river, flow. Because he said rivers. So you don't know how many different rivers there are, but we know this. There's at least two. You don't get rivers unless you get at least two. And so thank you, Father, for the flow of the Holy Spirit that blesses the lives of each of these. Lord, We bless all of our friends that we haven't seen in a long time. Brother Al Barton and Brother Ken Brumbaugh and James Denny Jr. We love you guys. We bless you. We bless Brother Gary West and Sister Maxine McDowell. Bless you guys. The solidity, the fortification, the strength of what established this. Mike and Shannon and Dave and Gwen and Rob and that whole group that was there at the beginning. Bless them, Lord. Jeff and Kelly, we bless them, Lord. We declare the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Be with every one of us here, Ray and Julie, and our dear friends, Teresa Dowd, bless her, Sally Rice. Lord, there's so many. I'll never be able to name them all. Robin and Lisa and all of their family, Mike and Michelle. We bless them today, Lord. Those that have never given us their name, we bless them in Jesus' mighty name and say, may the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Be with them in the mighty name, Jesus. We pray. Amen and amen and amen. You want to do it? Just lift your hands and say, I receive the abundant life of God.
God.
Amen and amen and amen and amen. Has anybody seen Brother Roger? Somebody send him a instant message, text message saying, hey, brother, we're here tonight. We love you. Sister Mary, Pastor Rick, I saw you tried to connect. I'm not sure what happened, but try to connect again. We're here, and we'd love to hear a testimony of what God's doing in your life, because we know he's working mightily in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, here we go. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, I think we're going to just read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 21.
Excellent idea.
Don't you think that's a good idea? I think it's a good idea. And thank God for his wonderful leadership in our lives. I only really want to pick out about 3 to 7 verses, but wouldn't hurt us to read all 21 of them. So here we go. 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to read the whole chapter. When you get there, hold your Bible up, and let's make our confession about the Word of God. I'm learning how to do this, really. Should be able to see that. Can you see that confession right in the middle of the screen?
Yes.
Here we go. Hold your Bible up and make it with me. This is my Bible.
My Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I
am what Jesus says I am because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing 100-fold return in my spirit, soul, and body in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen,
amen,
and
amen,
amen, and amen. I just love the majestic Word of God. If you've
amen.
Not been studying it, if you've not been reading it, I encourage you to do so, because it'll be a blessing to you as you do it. You know, I was talking with somebody about our Read the Word program, And, you know, it was awesome to be able to speak that God is moving in a mighty way through I read the word and realize that I know it's not me, but it's Almighty God. And he's blessing everybody that comes by there and is a part of it. So send it to your friends and family. Thank you, Sister Sunday Geyser. Hey, hallelujah. Dane is very happy. He's going to church with a friend and loves it. He wants to be baptized. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Now, you might not know the power of that testimony, but that's a powerful testimony for this grandma to be able to say about her grandson. He's very happy, and he's going to a church with a friend. He loves it, and he wants to be baptized. What an amazing hallelujah. Well, you know, if I could sing the song, I'd sing it. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. And that's the end of it, I know. So I'll just stop there rather than try to mess it all up. We raise a hallelujah and we say glory be to God for the wonderful answer to prayer right here tonight with our brother Dane. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Our Father rewards all those who seek him. Verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Have you noticed in our prayer of salvation, that's what we say. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You are the Christ. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who's begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. King James says, uses the word grievous. They're not grievous. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes this world. What is it? Our faith. Say it with me. Point your finger at yourself and say, my faith.
My faith.
Helps me overcome the world.
Helps me overcome the world.
As I appropriate God's grace.
As I appropriate God's grace.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
That's how it works. Verse. Woo! Verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood. Jesus was born by Mary. Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Albeit, he, the Spirit of truth, will guide you into all truth and out of all error. Verse 6b, it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. In heaven, Jesus was the Word. In heaven. Verse 8. These are the three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of He has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's why we say to you, put your hands up and say, Jesus, I receive you into my life right here, right now, today. Verse 14. Now, this is the confidence. Not maybe, might be, kind of wishy-washy, who you never know. This is the confidence, confidentation in the fulfillment of God's plan. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is sin not leading to death. Verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. And the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ, is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. I'm going back to verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. And since we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. I want you to think about this. The enemy's words are only heard by humans on this earth. Certainly, they're going to be heard by the demonic forces that are pushing them, but they've already been stripped of all their power, so they have any power against you. You don't have to in any way be worried about their power, because they have none. The only way our enemy has any power over you is that you surrender your being and your control of your being. You surrender that. And then, like God said to the children of Israel, as we were studying it this morning, he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you may live. You're going to have to choose life, but that's what you and I do. Now, 1 John chapter 4 or chapter 5 says, whoever believes that Jesus is born of God. And verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And since we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Why? Because you know your God and your Father. You know Jesus' nature on the very in-depth side of who you are. You know it. Want to say it with me? I know the Lord. One of the only times getting a cup of coffee. Love you. Love you, Phyllis.
I know the Lord. I gotta make sure I'm unmuted. I'm sorry.
You all right? She's sitting there yelling at it. I know how it is. You're just talking away. That's how it goes. This is the confidence that we have in him. We have this confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know, we don't question, we know that when he hears us, we will have the petition that we ask.
Sisters, it usually says where two or three are gathered together, but here it just says, even if you're by yourself, he hears you.
Even if you're by yourself. Amen. And think about it, fellas. You and God are a majority.
Oh, yes. Thank you. That's right.
Because each one of us coming together in God are a majority in ourselves. I have had the Holy Spirit say this to me many times. And after, I don't know, the 100th time, I'm like, you know, Father, I really apologize that you're continually having to say that to me. That probably means I'm not getting it. And that's not going to happen anymore. I'm going to get it. Well, then what I understood, what I come to understand, is I had a very severe religious indoctrination. Don't even know where it came from. And it really doesn't matter where it came from, because we don't care about the indoctrinations we used to have. We want to walk in the truth. So therefore, we will walk in the truth. Now, tonight's lesson, I mean, I'm running a little late to say I'm starting, but it'll be all right. Tonight's lesson is man discovers the glory of God when he seeks him. When he seeks him. Now, one of the things that we see in the book of Job, and I don't have the right reference, isn't that something? Anyways, Job, I think it's like chapter 14. Fifteen, as you can tell, I'm missing it.
What does it say? I'll look it up.
Well, that's where, there it is. It's 13. It's actually 13:15. I had my numbers right, just not in the right order. Job 13:15. You know, his friends are there, and they begin to say what they're saying. And down in verse 13, Job says, hold your peace with me, and let me speak. Then let come on me what may. Why do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hands? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. He shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite could not come before him. Listen carefully to my speech, to my declaration with your ears. See now, I have prepared my case. I know that I shall be vindicated. Who is he who will contend with me? If now I hold my tongue, I will perish. You think about it. Job had just lost everything, including his wife and his children. And yet Job said, though he slay me, he's not even right. God's not even trying to slay me. Slay him. But he said, though he slay me, I will trust in him. And certainly Job didn't understand what was going on until he got a little farther in it. And then he said, that which I have greatly feared has come upon me. So no longer have a great fear. Quit making that statement. Man, I'm really afraid to death of that. Don't make that statement. You don't want that to be your death. With the fruit of your lips, with the fruit of my lips, we are being satisfied. And therefore, we must live and be strong by the fruit of our lips. Now, let's read this. I'm in Job 38. I'm going to read this whole chapter, verses 1. Read 1. Job 38, verses 1. I'm just going to go all the way through 38 and 39. This is talking about our God. I love these verses as we study about who God is, his nature, and his wonderful ways. Job 38 and Job 39. What's going on is I've learned the value of reading the word, and I just love to read the word, don't you? Matter of fact, let me just pause for a minute. Say again, fellas.
Absolutely, the whole word.
I came on something this morning. I woke up, and I come in here into the office, and this is where I do my private time with God. And let me see if I can figure this out. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, well, I got some work I got to get done, but I want to hear the word. But by the time I got up, I'm like, wow, I'm running real late. The program's going to start here in a little bit. And I thought, well, you know what? I've got the word. I've got all the Old Testament already read out loud and recorded where I can find it. And so on the inside, I'm like, I want to read 1 Kings or 2 Kings chapters 1 through 4, somewhere in there. I wasn't sure what day it was. But this is what I did. Hold on just a second. Let me make this a little bit bigger. Nope. That was the wrong bigger. So this is what I did. I went to my YouTube page. You can see right there on YouTube, we're live. See that little magnifying glass right up over there? That's your search button. Click it. So then I just searched in there my name, Samuel. I want you to see this. Samuel J. Cottle. And then I put 2 Kings, which would be 2. I would use the 2 number. 2 Kings 1 through 4. I want you to see this. Yeah, that says 2 Kings 1 through 4. Then I click search. And there it was. Read the word. 2 Kings 1 through 4. Now, why am I showing this to you? Because any day you wake up now and say, I would like to hear that passage read from the Old Testament, it's already recorded. It's already done. Put my name, Samuel J. Kyle, and then whatever the book is. And remember, if it's 1st or 2nd Samuel, 1st or 2nd Kings, 1st or 2nd Chronicles, the way I write it is 1 Kings, the number 1, and then Kings, and the number 2, the numeral 2, Kings. And no matter what, if you put that in there, you should be able to find it within a pretty close proximity to 2 or 3 videos down here underneath of it, exactly what you're looking for. And listen, here's the cool part. You helped me make it.
Do you have any idea how many times I pulled that old trigger so I wouldn't have to sit here with my magnifying glass reading myself?
Wait, that's exactly why Father told us to do this. Now, I want you guys to realize how much God loves Phyllis.
Yes.
Even in everything about her, God loves Phyllis so much, he sent me just the Phyllis to read this just for her.
Thank you.
But listen, this was the cool part of it. You got to realize, this is me opening up my own video, listening to myself read the word, being excited about it. Why? Because in the background, I wanted to hear that word get inside of me. And we've already read it, so my ears are going to be already in tune to it. And how encouraging it, this is the encouragement it was to me. Wow. We obeyed God. Look at what a blessing this will be to all of us, even to me. This will
be very convenient. If you want to make notes and you don't want to have to be holding the Bible and reading it and trying to make notes at the same time. So it's sensible. It's not really as wild as you're making it up to be.
Well, yeah, it's just the first couple of times you listen to yourself preach to yourself, you realize this is really interesting. I'm about to get a revelation from me. But wait, we don't do this by our own power. We're doing this by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Therefore,
amen.
Therefore, anytime you go back to listen to it, anytime I go back to listen to it, I will get revelation. What? This ain't about me. I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm an oracle when I'm reading. I'm a scribe when I'm writing. That's all I am. God help me to become a better one. And God help all of us to become a better oracle of the word of God, and a scribe as we're typing and writing things, and we're writing them on the Facebook and Messenger and all the different places where we may be, and being a blessing to other people in Jesus' name. That was a long advertisement, but I feel like it was a good one. This is Job 38, and we're going to read all the way through chapter 39. This is God talking to Job about God's creation. I love this. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. This is Job 38. You think about Job. Job's in a situation now. God Almighty saying, you better get ready, and you're going to give me an answer. Verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Say it with me. The earth has foundations. Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? God is literally saying there are foundations that this earth has been established on, built on, that are fastened to something, just like you and I do when we put a foundation down in the ground for this building. Oh, my, my, my. Verse 6, 7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When you think about it, the morning stars are all singing. You might say, well, Pastor, I've never heard them. Doesn't mean they're not singing. See, what are we doing? This is the book of Job, which many people are afraid of, and yet this is God Almighty himself talking about his creation. This ain't man. This is God talking about the creation. Verse 9. When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. What's he talking to? The sea. See, you stop here. And now we have soft, sandy shore, Lake Michigan. You got stony rocks on the north side, Lake Superior. That's a serious stony lake, and it's an amazing lake. Your waves must stop. Verse 12. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? That it might take hold of the end of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal, and it stands out like a garment. From the wicked, their light is withheld, and the upraised arm is broken. Somebody with their arm up toward God, he breaks it. Think about this. Well, hold your place, and let's just grab this verse real quick. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Look at this verse. Now, of course, God's talking to Job here and the three friends, because the three friends are hearing it too, about the creation of the earth. Like, you think you got something? Watch this. Verse 18. Romans 1, 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and righteousness. Everybody that might be listening, if you're suppressing the truth and righteousness, the wrath of God is poured out on you. I'm not. The wrath of God is poured out on you because of what you're doing. Verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Everybody, the one who hates God the most, God's already shown it to them. 20. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Now, I gotta write this in there. Job 38 and 39. Because that's where the father is saying to Job, hey, Job, wake up. So what do you want us to see here, Pastor? What I want you to see right here is these things about nature is going to be what judges some people on the day of judgment. And it'll judge them severely. Because even though they saw God, and they could see God in that nature out there, they didn't believe him as God. And so therefore, their foolish hearts were darkened. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Let's keep reading. Where are we at? I'm in down here in Job 38. And I'm in 15. From the wicked, their light is withheld, and the upraised arm is broken. 16. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Well, you and I got amazing computers. One of them we hold right in our hand, put it in our pocket every single day. And on that computer, you can find how many square inches of earth there are on the earth. Somebody would have a big number computer somewhere that could tell you that. See, that's not what God's telling you. God's telling you, have you comprehended the earth I made and how every one square inch of earth has the most amazing organisms and cells and tissues and neutrons and protons in it, and probably an ant, a spider, or some kind of bug or fly? You ever thought about it? We were standing out there in the national park the other night, Cicely Ann and I. Buffaloes were kind of standing all around us, and this big old buffalo came walking by us, you know, and a big old guy. And, of course, as it was starting to get chillier at night, their bodies were giving off steam. It was pretty cool looking. And as he walked by, the thought just came to me, you know what? That big old buffalo just came walking. He probably weighed 2,000 pounds. He was huge. And I said, you know what? Underneath of his feet, he only walked over about 20,000 ants. I mean, think about it. How many microorganisms did he just walk over in that 100 yards that he walked when he walked by? How many ants? How many little bugs? How many crickets? How many grasshoppers? And our God and Father takes care of every bit of them. The book of Proverbs says the grasshopper, the locust, is an amazing creature because they advance in rank and nobody's over them. Let's keep reading. Wow. 19. Where is the way to the dwelling of light and darkness? Where is its place? That you may take it to its territory. That you may know the path to its home. Do you know it? Because you were born then? Or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow? Have you seen the treasury of hail? Did you know there was a treasury of stone and or snow and hail? There's a big room, which I have reserved for that time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. By what way is light diffused, or the east wind scattered above the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water or a path for the thunderbolt? That's an amazing thought. Who set out the thunderbolt path? Well, Pastor, that's just the earth and electricity, static electricity, and bam, there it is. Well, read the Bible and believe what the Bible said. 26, to cause it to rain on a land where there is no one. A wilderness in which there is no man. It's going to rain out there. To satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass and water the ants. Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? And the frost of heaven, who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. Ice. Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion or Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season? Can you guide the great bear with its cubs? These are all star These are all constellations. God's telling you about these constellations. Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you? Well, God said he'll give us rain for our season, and he did say he'll give us authority over it. So let's do it right now. Ian, we command you cease and desist in the Gulf of Mexico. You will not reach landfall. You will dump your water in the Gulf of Mexico. There will not be floods. There will not be mass destruction. We bind every one of the lying, foul, deceptive words of the fear mongers that are on the Weather Channel and every other weather place. We know you're broadcasting what you see, but stop creating fear and making the declaration this is going to be the worst one ever. No, it is not. Can I get it?
The rainstorm.
Amen. Can I get an amen out of anybody?
That will dissipate. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just a rainstorm that will dissipate. I like that. 35. Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? That one night just recently, I saw the lightning. I believe that's what was going. They're like, God, where do we go? Just go dance around Sam out there for a while. He'll be all right. He likes it. Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Who can pour out the bottles of heaven? When the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together, can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions? When they crouch in their dens or lurk in their lions, liars to lie in wait? Who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? 39. Do you know the time of the wild mountain goats bear young? Can you mark when the deer gives birth? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Or do you know the time when they bear young? They bow down. They bring forth their young. They deliver their offspring. Their young ones are healthy. They grow strong with grain. They depart and do not return to them. Who set the wild donkey free? Who loosed the bonds of the onager, whose home I have made the wilderness? And the barren land, his dwelling. Who scorns the tumult of the city? He does not heed the shouts of the driver, the range of the mountains in his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Will the wild ox be willing to serve you? Will he bed by your manger? Can you bind the wild ox in the furrow with ropes, or will he plow the valleys behind you? Will you trust him because his strength is great, or will you leave your labor to him? Will you trust him to bring home your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? 13. The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but they don't pick them up off the ground. But are her wings and pinions like the kindly stork? For she leaves her eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust. She forgets that a foot may crush them, or that a wild beast may break them. She treats her young harshly, as though they were not hers. Her labor is vain without concern. Because God deprived her of wisdom and did not endow her with understanding, she lifts herself on high. She scorns the horse and its riders as them ostriches. Don't let them get too close, because then they'll peck you right on top of the head. 19. Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with, can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the glittering spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage, nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, aha! He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock in the stronghold. From there it spies out the prey. Its eyes observe from afar. Its young ones suck up blood. And where the slain are, there it is. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who with the Almighty correct him? And he rebukes God? Let him answer it. Job answered and said, I'm vile. I'm vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, I will not answer. Yet twice, but I will proceed no farther. See, you and I, America at least, in other many some other places of the world, but especially in America, I would say any, let me just be careful what I say right here. For any of you who are believers, as you grow and develop in your believing, it becomes real easy to see yourself as a child of God, as an heir of God, as a joint heir with Jesus, as a minister of reconciliation, as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God. Now, if you'll just study those verses, realize they're in there, study what Galatians is all about, study what Romans is all about, all of a sudden you'll realize, wait a minute, I am adopted into this family. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Well, when you start doing that, it's easy to begin to say, wait a minute, God, why aren't you doing this? And get that cocky arrogance, just like Job had before this happened. But God doesn't want you weak. That's why he said that he rewards those who diligently seek him. God rewards those who diligently seek him. Well, if you're going to diligently seek him, you've got to become confident in who you are in him. It is not wrong. It is not pride. It is not arrogance to begin to say about yourself, I am an heir of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus. I am a minister of reconciliation. I am an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. I am a king and a priest unto my God. It is not wrong for you to say that. Why? Because you have been made a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. It's pretty cool. I can tell tonight I've got a Missourite here. So like Dr. Leroy would say, oh, you want to start the argument with me? How about I just show you another verse? I like that. When he said that, I'm like, I'm using that for the rest of my life. I'm telling you right now. Philippians chapter 2. Look at this. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 13. Somebody shout, I love the word, or give me a great amen. Brother Roger, we're missing you. The great amen. We're missing
amen.
Amen. Here we go. This is a very interesting set of verses. about you and I learning to that the Father is going to reward us with sonship and with relationship. Well, Pastor, I just wanted him to get me a new car. Nah, he's not about new cars. He's about relationship. He'll let you drive an old beat-up car a really, really, really long time if the only thing you want him for is a car. He doesn't prostitute himself for things, and he won't teach you to do it either. But if you will learn to love him, adore him, walk with him, and grow and develop in him, and learn your place in God, everything on this earth is yours. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth he has given to the children of men. Genesis chapter 1, we studied it last night. So this is our earth, and he thoroughly expects you to take dominion of it. Now watch this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also Christ Jesus. So, literally, if you extrapolate this a little bit, you can say it this way. You, Samuel J. Cottle, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You and I are supposed to think like Jesus the Christ. We're supposed to act like Jesus Christ. We're supposed to walk in the paths of righteousness like Jesus the Christ. Watch this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Our challenge is that we act like God. His challenge was that he needed to be like us. Had to choose to be like us. Taking on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, that at the name, therefore God has highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear, not fraidy catness, with the awesome respect of God and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now look at another set. Romans, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, go to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8:14. Hope somebody is writing down a verse list tonight since Sister Leanne couldn't be with us. Because this is
I might have missed a couple of those scriptures.
That's all right. When you get done, Phyllis, we'll have you snap a picture and send us a picture of your notes.
I don't do camera stuff and all that cute stuff.
Well, we might just have to call Barbara Ann, Barbara Ann, can you come and take a picture,
now,
Barbara Ann?
Whenever we go off, I can go on and record it on the comments.
Good. Yeah, that's
on
good.
On YouTube.
That's good. Thank you. Verse 14, Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Say it. I'm a child of God.
I am a child of God.
I am a child of God. I am a child of... All right, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father, you are my dad. Look at 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. That's documented, that you and I are the children of Almighty God and we're heirs and joint heirs. Now go back with me to Philippians chapter 2 and let's read this as though let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus, because it's in us as heirs of God. Now watch this. Who being in the form of God, we're not in the form of God, we're in the form of the children of God. Do not consider it equal to be an heir of God. We're not the glory of God, but we are an heir of God. He made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. We have to take on ourselves an heir relationship. He took on a servant. We take on the heir. Being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ is living on the inside of me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave him for it. He humbled himself. We've got to not elevate ourselves in pride, but we got to stand up and be confident in who we are as heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 9, therefore God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name. You and I aren't highly exalted except in the fact that we are the body of Christ. We are his very body working for him on this earth. And therefore, as his body, you and I function in the greatest boldness of the highly exalted one living in us. We won't be highly exalted. We will be humble and righteous, but bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah. That at the name of Jesus, he isn't speaking it in heaven. We're speaking it on earth. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Those in heaven, when they get there. Those on earth, when we speak it. And those under the earth on the day of that judgment. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Look at this, verse 13, or 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do you realize that's what Jesus had to do? Jesus had to work out his salvation. Jesus had to work out his life on this earth. He had to, with fear and trembling, because it was God who was working in him to will and to do of God's good.
Now, I'm supposed to be writing down the verses, but you went from Romans 8. I didn't write it down. Tell me.
I was in Philippians 2, verse 5 through 13. Yeah. Then I went to Romans 8, 14 through 17.
Yeah.
And then I went back to Philippians chapter 2 and read 5 through 13 again.
Okay.
Hold on just a second, Leanne. Did you let the cat in?
Yes.
Okay. The poor cat. God bless the cat. She loved your cat. And the reason the Holy Spirit just did that with me is this. Many times you and I will read Philippians chapter 2 and say, all right, I got to have the mind of Christ. And then we stop. But hold it. Every step of 5 to 13 that Jesus did to release his position as God and come to man and function as the earth, you and I got to be in that same place, releasing our humanity and stepping in to the divine nature of God that you and I see over here in 2 Peter, where it says, by these great and precious promises, we begin to become partakers of the very divine nature of God. Let's just read it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2 through 4. Now, I know I've given this a bunch of verses, and this kind of been one of them messages that just kind of been all over. But really what it is, it's very focused. You and I learning to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, and realizing that the Father rewards everyone who seeks him. Pauper or prince, rich or poor, intellectual or ignoramus. He don't care about those titles that I just spoke. Our Father cares about one thing. He rewards those who diligently seek him with his presence. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, fellas.
Don't think you're going to just come and walk away when you're hugging me. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. 3, his divine power. Where is it? It's in here. Because he's in here. Has given to us all things. That's not a spiritual term. That's spiritual and natural. That pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Well, if he called us by glory and virtue, then we get glory and virtue. And we function by glory and by virtue. Verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Now, that's not just a promise. That's an exceedingly great and precious promise. That through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature. Now, are you going to be God? No. Are you going to be Jesus the Savior? No. No. But you are going to be an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus, with the mind of Christ, functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit, functioning as his body on this earth. And you are going to be his hands and his feet, very body functioning on this earth. That's why the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, in the book of Thessalonians, said to us, you remember when I was with you, 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 8. You remember when I was still with you, 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 8. When I was still with you, I told you these things. And now you know what is restraining who? The Antichrist. That he may be revealed in his own time. He can't be revealed now. You and I are here restraining him. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, Jesus, that's you and me, he who now restrains will do so until he, Jesus, the church, is taken out of the way. The body of Christ. And then the lawless none will be revealed. Now, how do you put all of this together in one statement tonight? God is working in and with and through you every single day to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Our Father rewards all who seek him.
Our Father rewards everyone who seeks him. And we started out with Job 38, and I love those two chapters because it's God talking to a man. Where was you when I did this? And how about when I did this? And were you there when I did this? How old are you? I just love it. Why? Because he's putting man in his spot. And yet in the New Testament, he welcomes us to be heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, and the very hands and feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, that's all right. I love it when you do it, but somebody just pushed me a little bit farther and said, well, then prove it. Well, all right, I will. Acts chapter 4, and we're going to go to 29. And 30, and 31, and 32, and 33. Let's go from Acts 4, 29 through 37. You know, first time Roger said 4 more hours, I remember thinking, I don't know about that 4 more hour thing, but do you know what happens? We sit here, and God gives us a verse. We speak it, and then what happens? He gives us another one, and we speak that, and we're like, whoa, that's good. And then what happens? He gives us another one. We speak that, and we're like, whoa. Next thing you know, 2.5 hours later, we look at the clock like we done been speaking some word. I looked at how much word we read last night. We read some words last night. We have already read tonight 75 verses. Why? Because it's his word that is able to make you stand, not my preaching. By the foolishness of preaching, you'll come to know God. Paul, speaking by the Holy Spirit, called it foolishness of preaching. Look at this verse. 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants, that with all boldness they may speak your word. So it wasn't just the disciples that they were praying, just for themselves, to all the servants. By stretching out your hand to heal. What did Peter do? Reach up in heaven, grab God's hand, yank it down here and put it on that guy? No, these hands. Hold your hands up and say, by stretching out these hands to heal. Jesus said, you will lay hands on the sick. And what will happen? They will recover. You'll lay the hand on them. But Jesus said, it's not me that's doing the work. It's my Father who is in me doing the work. Say, I am the hands and feet of Jesus. By stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. When they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. I'm looking forward to that day. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, I don't know. If the contractors want God shaking the house, because they might be afraid to paint it. But the painters would like it. Shake it, Lord. Shake it. I need some good painting work. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. The multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was on them all. You and I, knowing who we are in our Father. Pastor, how do I figure this out? I can never learn all this stuff that you know. He rewards those who diligently seek him with his presence in their life right where they're at. It doesn't have anything to do with how much you know. It has everything to do with how much you are seeking.
And he is more willing to give you his fullness than you are willing to ask. You just have to receive.
Isn't that just a powerful statement?
He wants to receive.
Think about it. He wants you to have all of him so much that you don't even have to get the full statement out when you're asking and you're filled. I'll never forget that little girl who came to our church. Just a little thing. I want to talk like you. I'm like, what? She said, I want to talk like you. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, well, those words you're saying. And I'm like, oh, we were praying. The church was praying in tongues, praying together in a kind of tongues. And I said, really? Have you ever been to church? Nope, never been to church. First time ever. All right. We were taking the offering. We finished the offering. I had to come up front. I said, now, what we've got to do is get you born again. Oh, okay. So say this, Jesus, come into my. Well, she no longer got the word Jesus out of her mouth, and a smile came across her face. Why? Because God wanted her so much to have his Holy Spirit that before she ever even was finished praying that prayer, God had already come into her. So she said, but I want to talk like you. I'm like, all right. Well, now that you've been born again, lift your hands. I mean, I'm talking to an 8-year-old child. She goes, all right. I told her, lift your hands and say this after me. Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. And she said, Jesus, fill. Shooky, 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 shooky. And off she went, praying in the Holy Ghost. 8 years old. Why? Because he's more willing to give you all of himself than you are to ask. So all you got to do is begin asking, and he's already going to give you more than you ever even asked for, because he's a more than enough God, not just a barely enough God. I'm preaching really good tonight. You know why? Because I'm following the leadership of the Holy Spirit for this service.
Keep it up. Keep going. Four more hours.
Now watch this. It's time for us to do communion. Last night and tonight, we're thinking about the wonder of God. You know, we're only days away from being finished with the Old Testament. And, you know, my mom, you guys saw it. She put it in the family thread. Hey, call me. And this is the second time she said it. And so I called her. I'm like, what's that? She was talking to me about a couple different things. But then she made a powerful statement. I'm going to say it again, but I'm going to say it right now. She said, you've been making that statement about 400 years of silence when God didn't say anything. And she said, I don't know where you got it, but she said, I know I've said it. So I may have got it from her. Who knows? Doesn't matter. She said, she didn't say 90 seconds. That's what that lady said. She said, God did not go silent during those years. Which is what I've been saying. And I don't even know why. I don't have any verse. I'm getting kind of nervous this last week thinking, The Old Testament's about done. And I really don't know what to say about this 400 years. All right. Well, so she, when I call her, she goes, well, let me tell you what I found out about these 400 years. And I'm like, well, thank you, Mom. God bless my mother. A wonderful, mighty woman of God. And she pointed me in a direction to, so you can get the right understanding. I was getting nervous because I'm like, I don't have anything to substantiate what I've just been saying. I need to stop making this statement. But wait, that's what studying the Word of God should cause every one of us to do. Amen. Because what will it do? It'll help us get rid of the doctrines of men that have no foundation and have no strength in them and grab a hold of the doctrine of God. Well, what happened during that period of time was one of the things I can say this. Right now, what happened is the Hebrew, the law and the prophets was translated into the Greek language, which was the prevailing language of the whole earth at that time was Greek. It took the language of the Old Testament Hebrew and it put it into the language of the modern day rulers, the controller of the world, which was Greek. Now, the difference between Hebrew and Greek is Hebrew is a picture language. A word paints a picture. The Greek is a very specific word-for-word language. The word love in the English is one word. The word love in the Greek are six words. I'm forgetting which one the number is, but I think it's five words.
Hello.
Okay,
and so on.
The only thing Philadelphia.
English has is a charity, and you know, to differentiate between all of the others.
And
charity is comes closest to agape.
Right.
But it still doesn't reach the point of God's holy love.
Yeah, and it doesn't differentiate because we say, I love you to your mate, your spouse, your children. But in America, we'll also...
I love tomatoes.
We'll also say, I love tomatoes. But you ain't cuddling no tomato.
No.
You're cutting, slicing, forking, and eating.
And fine, yeah.
And yet, the erotic love, which is a wicked love, when it is wicked, it's still considered love, and yet it's not. And in the Greek language, they would say eros, which is the word erotic love. And Philadelphia would be the word that they use, which is brotherly love. They would say, I love you, Brother Dan. I Philadelphia you, Brother Dan, which means I have brotherly love for you, Brother Dan. And so during this 400-year period of time, they were writing the Old Testament written in Hebrew into the Greek, where everybody then could have an understanding of it. And, of course, the Bible wasn't in the hands of a common man because it took so long to write by hand the whole Word of God that only the greatest scholars and the richest of people actually had it. And then when you get all the way down to King James, in 1611, like the Baptists have taught us, if it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Except Paul didn't read the 1611 because Paul wasn't alive in 1611. Paul was up in heaven saying when the 1611 was being translated, and saying, no, don't say that, say this. Anyways, we'll get that later. Don't worry about it. Now, we got to bring this to a close. Just like my mom calling today and saying, look at this. When you study to show yourself approved to God, he said in Matthew 13, to him who has revelation, more will be given. But the answer for more revelation in your life is that you become a good steward of the revelation you already Get it? Keep it. Get the revelation. Steward it. And keep it in your life. And then God says, I will give you more. And I'll be a blessing to you. I ain't gonna say don't. I just love the Word of God. It's not just a statement that we make. It is a reality that we live every day when we say, I love the Word. Because it is changing me right in front of my very own eyes. And I love the change that God is working in you and me and in us and in this ecclesia, this body of Christ, this governing body of God's authority on this earth, right here, right now, today, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's pray. And then we'll receive our communion elements together like we do every time we come here. And, you know, Phyllis and Brother Dan, we were talking about this before Sister Sunday. I'm not sure if you're still there or not, but if so, we love you. Glad to have you with us. And I see there's been four people with us on YouTube. If you're there, we love you. Sign in so we can see your name. We'd love to speak your name out loud and bless you. But Dan and Phyllis and I were talking before the program about how the Word of God is changing us and growing us and developing us and giving us revelation and information and glory of God that's in it. I just love what God is doing in your life and in mine. Don't you love it?
Amen.
For those of you who haven't heard, Brother Sister Leanne, she is here.
Sunday girl is here.
All right. Thank you, Sunday. Glad to have you. I see that you tried to sign into Zoom, but I don't know. God, yeah, who knows? God bless. God bless Sunday's computer to no longer be Zoom resistant. Some people are lactose intolerant. We bind that, so you can drink all the milk you want. And some people's computers are Zoom resistant. We bind that so you can join us on Zoom. Here we go. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that we don't have to come crawling up to you like a beggar or a worm. Just like the prodigal and the elder brother. You looked at them and said, I just wanted you to be my heir your full life. No longer be a slave. Know who you are in me. No. So that I can bless you. We receive it, Jesus. We receive it. We receive the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, abundantly blessed in every air life, covered by the blood of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because you, Father, you, Jesus, you, Spirit of God, live on the inside of us to give you glory. We give you honor. We give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Well, here's how we do this. We're going to read the verses on the communion elements. And Phyllis was saying it beforehand. You know, if you think about the last 2.5 years, I've studied the Bible with you every day and received communion with you every day, even if you wasn't here. But you think about that.
Yeah.
Think about, now, I know there's been lots of days in all of our lives where we're like, you know, here we go. It's time for the program, but I really might like to be doing that. And yet when you look at it, where would I be? Where would I be had I not studied every day like I've studied? You know what the reality is? I don't even want to think about it.
Miserable.
What'd you say?
Miserable.
Yeah. Yes, to say the least. Because I've gone to preaching, but just give me another 30 seconds. You and I can see how much more is ahead of us. We can see that, all right, we're scratching the surface, but there's a whole deep old gold and silver mine down inside there that we need to be mining. And we're just scratching the surface. You got to meditate in the law day and night. You got to search it out. Get it up. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You and I have given ourselves to the diligent study of God's holy word. And he's rewarding us. Just like he said he would. Oh my. I could say that 50 times and it never gets tired. You ready? 1 Corinthians. Are you ready? You had that look on the face like this. I'm ready, but are you ready? For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he broke it, he blessed it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. His redemptive work. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. That's the process. Every one of us examine ourselves, not somebody else, yourself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. The only real requirement in communion is that you examine yourself and make the proper steps to walk with God. If you're walking with God every day and you're a new creation filled with the fullness of God, becoming partakers of his divine nature, when you examine yourself, you're going to be right with God. Some of you are going to get this. I declare it right now tonight. You see it. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, not the rest of the church, we would judge ourselves. We would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. We'd be very bold in the day of judgment. Why? Because if you ain't done nothing wrong, when somebody starts judging you, you can just like yak on your necker. What did Terry Mize post today by Dr. Roberts? Caravan never stops for a barking dog. Drive on. It's just a barking dog. Who knows where I am? Perfect love cast out fear and the torment, the barking that might come with it. Because there is no fear in love. And we bind every bit of trauma that may have been in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation. I'm not sure if you can tell, but I could probably preach for another 2 hours tonight. Why? Because the word is so powerful and it's so wonderful. Don't worry. After about 45 minutes, we'll be right back on here and we'll do read the word together. And we'll read another, we'll finish the book of Nehemiah. We're going to do tonight. You ready? Pray this prayer with me. Everybody pray. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not
and I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Now here's the place where you make your declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the first day, just third day, just for me.
And you rose again, just for me.
Whatever day it was. Amen. Hallelujah. No, got me all messed up here. Put your arms out and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life.
I receive you, Jesus, and
all of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
With
all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I understand
the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life. As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Now this may have been the first time you ever prayed that. Welcome to the family of God. This is the family of God. This is who we are. This is what we look like. And you have to wear a Harley Davidson shirt if you are a Christian. Not really, but they're pretty cool. I like them.
They're nicely made,
but you don't have to wear one ever. Anyways, isn't that something? That's the perfect example of religion. You just came into our church, so now you got to dress like this and talk like this and act like this in order to be a part of this. No, you don't. You talk like God. You walk with God. And he changes everything about your life exactly as he wants you to do it. You know what we'll find out? We all ain't going to dress the same. We all ain't going to comb our hair the same. We all ain't going to be anything like that, but we're all going to believe the same because there's one Holy Spirit taking us to the one same place, and that is into the presence of God. This is preaching tonight. All right. You've just been born again. You might say, what's going on? This is what's going on. Jesus just filled you with all of his love, all of his mercy, all of his grace, and all of his righteousness. Why? Because you asked him to. And then you said, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And the Father said, sure. And now you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You probably don't understand everything that includes, but you don't have to. What do you have to understand? You have to understand that God Almighty just came into your life, and he is going to be your help, your strength, your power, your might, everything you need every day. I say this many days. I try to say it every day, but I don't always remember. This is what you do. Wake up in the morning, and you're looking up at the ceiling. You might still have your eyes closed. Maybe you're looking at your phone saying, shut up, you stupid alarm. Right. What do you say? You say, Father, help me walk with you today. And you stop at noon and you say, thank you for my food. Thank you for being with me. You stop at supper and say, for these bountiful blessings, Lord, we thank thee. Or however you want to pray. when you lay down in your bed at night, just learn to look up in that ceiling and say, Father, thank you for helping me today. Ready? How did I do today? And then listen, and you'll begin to hear his voice, and you will find that in a very short period of time, you will be walking with God. And this book will come alive every time you're a part of this program with us. Isn't it beautiful? If you just stick with us for 6 months, you will not be the same person. I know you may not be able to make every single time we're on here. We're on here every day, 7 days a week, doing something. And most days, three times a day, doing something. The Read the Word program every day, this the prayer program in the morning at 9 a.m., and this program every evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we're establishing our faith. We love to bring the Word of God to you. Stick with us. Make sure you like, subscribe, and hit the bell on everything we do so you're there. I encourage you, if you've never been connected to Blog Talk Radio, Brother Dan's over there tonight. Brother Dan, if you got a word, raise your hand and we'll come to you. Otherwise, we won't come to you, but we sure like to hear the word. You always have a good one. But I encourage you, because we're seeing it with Brother Dutch Sheets this week. I encourage you to learn how to get to Blog Talk Radio and learn how to function over there so that if they ever do something stupid with YouTube, we have a place to go. And you already know how to get there. It's like tonight, Brother Dan was having trouble with his internet signal for some reason.
Oh, I see.
And yet, here it is. We got Blog Talk Radio, and he's been able to be over there with us. I remember Brother Tim Brown. Remember Brother Tim Brown? I texted Tim today and had a short conversation with him. Sure, I'm going to have more tomorrow. What a wonderful brother he was. But Brother Tim was doing the construction work over here when he first came with us. And he would turn on Blog Talk Radio, put his phone by the bed, and fall asleep listening to the program, listening to the word being spoken. And then, of course, when we turned it off, the phone would hang up. He had it plugged in, and it would be charged up by the time he got in the morning and he fell asleep hearing the word of God spoken. I'm just going. Are you ready to receive communion? Glory be to God. Hold up your communion elements and let's receive them together. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless these elements. For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes, I am
in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the broken body of Jesus together. Thank you. Thank you. That you endured the cross. You despised the shame. You are set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you called it all joy. You lift up the cup of blessing. The blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission. Forever and ever in my life. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace. Where I find grace, mercy, and help every day. And accomplish my assignment in you. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. I overcome every day. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down. And there's no more condemnation in my life. By the blood of Jesus,
every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be. The glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Or any other blemish. When you come for me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. Wow. I just had a completely new song come to me. Hold on. The Bible says after communion, they sang a hymn and went out. Ready? See if you know this one. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Wow.
Wow.
And you say that's a new song? I haven't heard that song in years.
Yeah, that's most definitely not a new one. That's an old one, but that's a good one. That's one of the oldie but the goodies, you know. That ain't no tear in your beer song, Christian song right there. That's a real one. Good doctrine. Well, all right, here's the reality. I'll stay on here if you stay on. But I got stuff I got to get.
Stay on as long as you stay on, baby.
I got stuff I got to get done.
You stay on for Read the Word. I'll stay on with you.
All right. Sister Phyllis is going to read our closing doxology. Isn't that what we call it? Yeah.
Well, I call it a benediction.
The benediction. I like that.
I just spell it.
But it is doxology, okay, too. So, anyway. Go ahead.
20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And I really do like to read Revelation 1:5-6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I love that verse.
Amen. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. Well, raise your hands and say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
Into every life that has been here today.
Into every life that has been here today.
And everyone who will come in the future.
And everyone who will come in the future.
Thank you for giving us this opportunity.
Thank you for giving us this opportunity.
To bless the body of Christ.
To bless the body of Christ.
I receive my hundredfold.
I receive my hundredfold.
That you have designed for me.
That you have designed for me.
Because I willingly give to you.
Because I really
get to use. I want to use every bit of it.
I want to use every bit of it.
To preach the gospel right here on this earth.
To preach the gospel right here on this earth.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Amen. And until we see you again, Brother Dan, you got anything to say? Just click the one button that waves your hand. Sister Sunday, God bless you. Love you. All of you that's been with us on YouTube, I see there's a bunch of you over there. God bless you. Mr. Phyllis, thanks for being here. Rebecca Smith, Sunday Geyser, Mary Pastor Rick. All y'all that we haven't seen in a while, but we'd love to. We call you blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, and it's what we say every time we come here. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord.
See you real soon.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pop.